everybody. Welcome to the No Huddle Podcast brought to you by QBList.com, the podcast you need to wrap up your week and win your league. My name is Rich Holman, and I'm joined by my fellow QBList contributor, Miles Nelson. Miles, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm not Kenny. You know, I know you're all sad that it's not Kenny and Rich this week, but I am back. We had such whelming success from the first time that they were like, yeah, let's bring Miles back.
We're always happy to have you back, Miles.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing well. It is a fine Saturday morning. I'm excited for football tomorrow. You know, my Cowboys play the Steelers, and at least I know it's going to be a loss this week because we're starting Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. So
I didn't know who that was until this morning.
Of AAF fame, Garrett Gilbert. That was his last starting job.
Excellent. So at least you have your expectations. You're already set.
Oh yeah, we're gonna lose. The Steelers will remain undefeated. I think they've been 8 wins or better every year under Mike Tomlin, and we will give them that this year.
That's very nice. All right, let's start the drive. First down. News and notes that may have fantasy implications for your team. Let's get to it. Matthew Stafford was placed on the COVID list after having close contact with a non-team member who tested positive. How does this affect the Lions this week with Chase Daniel at the helm and Kenny Galladay already rolled out?
I just want to say, why are players, you know, coming into close contact with people who have COVID? Don't we all know, just avoid people who have it. You can see it on them, right? You just walk away, walk the other way, Matthew Stafford.
It seems like common sense, but no.
No, I mean, with like half the league on COVID IR, you know, it's just kind of crazy this week. As far as the Lions go, I have no interest in starting any of them. Chase Daniel has started a handful of NFL games throughout his career, and none of them have been fantastic. The thing that has stood out to me is just that he just doesn't throw the ball deep. He doesn't look deep. He throws a lot of, you know, short intermediate passes. And so that really, you know, makes me not want to start Marvin Jones, because Marvin Jones really does need those kind of deep balls to be relevant. And I don't think he's going to be able to get the work that he needs to be relevant. You know, we always talk about Marvin Jones gets all of his fantasy points every season in like one or two games. Mm-hmm. And with Chase Daniel, you know, under center, I don't think this is going to be that game. So I have no interest in starting Marvin Jones. I have no interest in starting Marvin Hall. I guess Hockenson and Swift are the only people, because they're the ones who are going to get the passing work in those ranges. So I guess Hockenson and Swift are still relevant.
This might be the 12-catch, 99-yard game for Danny Amendola, maybe. But it mm-hmm. really, I agree. It stinks because it's a matchup that I liked when I started looking at it at the beginning of the week. Minnesota's defense has been beatable. It's not, you know, not the worst, not the best, but it's nothing to be afraid of. But it really, like you said, it takes away the deep ball. I'm on the same page with you.
Here's my expectation for this game is Minnesota loves to run the ball. They want to run the ball. That's what they're going to do. They're going to kill the clock. They're going to run it a bunch with Dalvin Cook. And then for the Lions, because they'll have Daniel under center, I think they're going to be a lot of handoffs to Adrian Peterson. You talk about a 12 reception, 99 yard game for Amendola. How about a 25 carry, 64 yard game for Adrian Peterson? Like, this is classic, the kind of game we're going to see.
Classic, yeah. Old man Adrian Peterson game.
Exactly. And it's a shame. Now, there is a chance Stafford could play, but we won't find out until like Sunday morning, and they'll have to charter a separate plane for him to Minnesota. And even if he plays, I mean, Stafford's one of those players. He's been with the team for so long. He's been with these guys for so long. You don't need practice during the week for him to be on the same page with Marvin Jones. But I would still be, you know, reticent to start Jones in that situation. I was already, you know, hesitant to do it anyway. I don't need this extra distraction. I don't need this extra, you know, a reason to not believe.
Yeah, if we're playing the Marvin Jones has one big week a year, he had it last week. He scored 2 mm-hmm. touchdowns. I mean, that might be it.
Yep. So Kenyon Drake was officially ruled out for week 9, and making it officially a Chase Edmonds game. We're very excited to see Chase Edmonds unleashed. How high do you have Chase Edmonds against the Dolphins?
Oh yeah, he's a RB1 this week, and a high end RB1. I'd say he's probably in my top 5 or 6 running backs this week. And I love this matchup against the Dolphins. The Dolphins have allowed the 7th most fantasy points to opposing running backs this year. I really like the matchup. Chase Edmonds looks like a beast when he has the work, and he should get all the work. Like, he's been getting work in the passing game in addition to getting the carries. It's Chase Edmonds season for me.
For sure. I'm very excited to see this. I think Edmonds is the better player at this point. I don't know if, you know, what's going on with Kenyon Drake is a scheme thing or what, but I think it's clear that it's not working for Drake. I'm very excited to see what Edmonds can do with a big workload. And I know, you know, Benjamin is there and a lot of people are very excited about, you know, Benjamin. I don't think Eno is going to eat into Edmonds' workload to the point that, you know, it's going to be kind of similar to Edmonds' workload beforehand. I think we're going to see more from Chase Edmonds. I think we will see some Eno Benjamin, but it's going to be kind of a Kenyon Drake level workload for Edmonds, at least for this week. I think that's going to be the case. And so I'm very excited to see that for sure. I actually have Edmonds in our Grand Theft Football League, where we have to make decisions on who our opponents can steal from our roster, because I lost last week. And I elected to keep Chase Edmonds over Kareem Hunt. Wow. And part of it was the bye week, but you know, I needed the win, but I felt there were similar players moving forward.
Yeah, and what, going back to Benjamin, I really think like he'll be the change of pace, or if Edmonds needs a break, if you see Edmonds get 3-4 carries in a row, that's when you'll see Benjamin get on the field.
The change of pace of the change of pace.
Yeah, that's the way we call it.
Love it.
Let's head to the other side of this game and check on Miami. Miles Gaskin and Matt Breida were already ruled out. Lynn Bowden Jr. hit the COVID list. So that leaves Jordan Howard and Patrick Laird, everyone's favorite sleeper, in the backfield. Are you sliding either of these backs into your lineup this week, or are you avoiding at all costs?
I guess I'm not everyone, because neither of these players are what I would consider my favorite sleeper. I'm avoiding. I don't really want either one of these guys. Jordan Howard, I believe, has a negative, not negative, but a less than 1 yard per carry for the season. I don't know his exact full season numbers, but I remember every week at the beginning of the year, I was laughing at the fact that, oh, look, Jordan Howard, 6 carries, 4 yards and a touchdown. Oh, look, Jordan Howard, 8 carries, 7 yards. It just, he never was able to actually produce any yards. And Patrick Laird, I mean, he's what, like a pass catching back? Isn't he a fullback sometimes too? Like, I just don't really. Yeah, it's like neither one of these guys really profile as someone who could have a big game. So I don't really want to start either one. But I will say I did stash Jordan Howard in a few leagues. He was the goal line back earlier in the season. He stole touchdowns from Miles Gaskin when they would just put Howard in at the goal line. So if the Dolphins are scoring a touchdown on the ground, it's going to be Jordan Howard.
Yeah, and either then, that or Tua is just going to handle it all.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility, and it's part of why I don't really want to start Howard. I think that they're going to, you know, evaluate Tua. Apparently, they're not fully sold on him as the future quarterback, despite drafting him high in the first round. But I think, you know, best case scenario for these guys, Jordan Howard gets, like, 30 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So Chris Carson, we're going to stick with running backs. Chris Carson has been ruled out against the Bills. We kind of expected this, at least I did. I know some people were hopeful that he would be able to play, but he's out. Carlos Hyde has also been ruled out. Do you expect DJ Dallas to dominate the running back snaps like he did last week? Or do you think Travis Homer will get worked in more as he's more removed from that knee injury? Dallas outsnapped Homer 56-7 last week.
Yeah, so maybe they try and get Homer worked in a little bit more, but I think DJ Dallas did enough in the starting role last week to warrant more carries and more opportunities this week. I like this matchup for him. The Bills have been kind of middle of the pack in terms of fantasy points allowed for the season, right at 14 right now. And I really like Dallas this week. If you're looking for that, like the guy who you're not expecting to go off, I think this is going to be DJ Dallas game. How high do you have him this week?
Oh, I have DJ Dallas as an RB1 this week. Lower than we have Chase Edmonds. I don't have him in like the top five, but he's right in that like 12 to 14 range for me. I think the main thing for me, I mean, Dallas didn't exactly wow with the yards that he accumulated last week, but they used him both on the ground and in the air, meaning they had a lot of faith in him to be able to pick up those spots in the offense. And Homer last week, I mean, I don't think he would have been active if it wasn't for the fact that literally it was Dallas and nobody else, and they needed to make sure they had a safety plan. But I don't think Homer's still ready. I think, you know, Homer again would be inactive this week if they had other options. And so I don't expect him to get a ton of work. They just like, really, I was surprised to even see him on the field last week. I figured if Dallas wasn't in there, they would just go, you know, five out.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So then if he only had seven snaps last week, it doesn't seem like he's going to get any much more this week.
Right.
The Ravens appear to be without Mark Ingram again this week. Whoever wrote up their Roto-World blurb called Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins tremendous plays this week against the Colts. Would you like to defend the Colts defense?
No, they have a fantastic defense. They do. But so did the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers were one of the best defenses against the run. And we all saw what happened last week because the Baltimore Ravens know how to run the football. They will always have a productive running game. The problem is when they have four healthy running backs, I'm counting Lamar Jackson in there because of the amount of carries he gets on the ground. Yeah, obviously the meme too, but like he is, you know, you look at the production. If you ask someone who didn't know anything about football, they say, oh yeah, Lamar, look at that guy. He's also a running back. They have four healthy, productive running backs. The work is split up too much between them all for any one of them to be productive. But when you see what happens last week, when you take one out, Edwards and Dobbins, the production is still there. They still get the yards. They still get the carries. They still run the ball. And now it's just one less person eating the pie. So now Edwards has plenty of opportunity. Dobbins has plenty of opportunity. I really like Edwards this week. I think people are actually still being too low on him. I've seen a lot of people say he's like, oh, borderline flex. No way. He's going to get a lot of high leverage touches there near the goal line. Dobbins isn't getting any goal line touches. Are you kidding me? So you're only worried about Lamar stealing those touchdowns. I like Edwards and I like Dobbins a lot this week.
Yeah, I think the in a week where you need these kind of players to fill in your roster, where you got guys on COVID, guys who are out, these are great plays that you – I know you said you don't want to call them a flex play, but they're great guys that can just slide right into your flex and not give you a zero. Like, I agree. Mm-hmm. I like them this week. Colts defense has been good. They've only given up the second least fantasy points to running backs this year, but that doesn't mean that the Baltimore Ravens are just going to stop running the ball.
Well, and the Steelers are right up there too. I mean, even after last week's game, they're seventh in yards allowed per rush attempt. That's after the game against the Ravens. So imagine where they were before then.
Yeah.
It doesn't – like when you have a team like the Ravens that knows how to run the football, they have so many weapons, they have so many options, it doesn't really matter who's on the other side of the field. They're going to be productive. So sticking with, you know, injured players, because that's the NFL and that's what happens. After missing six games with an ankle injury, punching a teammate, getting a hamstring injury during practice, Michael Thomas is finally back, assuming we don't hear anything new in the next 24 hours that keeps him out of the game. But with such a long layoff, you know, we haven't seen Thomas since week one. Do you expect Michael Thomas to be back in the best form?
Let's hope within the next 24 hours, no one calls him Slant Boy again. Please, please, nobody do that. I mean, it seems like he's going to be okay. He's good to go. When Michael Thomas is on the field, we're starting Michael Thomas. Like he's a target monster. I worry a little bit about how much work that Alvin Kamara got with him off the field. Maybe Drew Brees has leaned on him too long, but Michael Thomas will get his. He'll get targeted. I hate players coming off a hamstring injury, but I'm hoping that because it happened in practice, it wasn't as serious as what it would be if it came in a game. I just hope he gets on the field and is ready to show his teammates that he's here to play with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely concerned. Hamstring injuries for wide receivers are really tough. They need their hamstring to make those cuts, to get open, you know, on those routes. And so you kind of have to worry about that. But Michael Thomas is just such an athletic player that I think he will be just fine. I do think Breeze needs him. I mean, yes, you mentioned Alvin Kamara, and you know, Kamara's been getting a ton of receiving work for sure. I mean, he's been a top player this year, even if you take out all of his rushing work. However, that's a very different type of target. Alvin Kamara's average depth of target this year is 0.8 yards. Like that means the average target Alvin Kamara gets comes 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. If Michael Thomas catches a single pass this week that is 1 yard past the line of scrimmage, I will be shocked. Maybe one wide receiver screen. But other than that, they're going to be looking for him in intermediate. They're going to be looking for him deep. They're not going to be looking for him in that short range that Kamara usually catches all of his passes. So they're going to be very happy to have a player of Thomas's stature to stretch the field. And they're going to need it against Tampa Bay's defense. Mm-hmm. You cannot come at Tampa Bay with just one way of attacking them because they have one of the best defenses in the league. They actually bottled up Kamara pretty good when they played him in week one. So they're going to need Thomas. I think they're going to lean on him heavily. And I think he has a big week in him.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's run defense is just completely legit, and it's been legit for 2 years now. I think Drew Brees is going to be so excited to not have to look downfield and be like, oh, hey, there's Traquan Smith. He's good. Oh, there's Harris. I could throw the ball to him. Like, just having an actual wide receiver out there that's going to warrant defenders covering him is going to make the team better. That's just facts.
For sure.
Finally, Ezekiel Elliott has been dealing with a hamstring injury that has limited him in practice this week. Facing a tough matchup against the Steelers, how much confidence do you have in Zeke this week?
Oh, none. None whatsoever. I have zero confidence in Ezekiel Elliott. I understand why people are saying you still have to start Zeke, because for most people who roster Zeke, he was your first round draft pick. You probably were like, oh, I'm good. Zeke's great. He never gets hurt. He's fine. And I can wait on running back again. And you probably don't have a lot of great running back options. But if you have, like, if you picked up James Robinson and Gus Edwards and DJ Dallas, start all three of those guys over Zeke, and then you're good. He's averaged like 5 PPR points over the last 3 weeks since Dak went down. He has not been effective. The Cowboys have nothing going on offense, and they're playing one of the best run defenses in the NFL. And you may say to yourself, well, the Steelers just gave up all those yards to the Ravens last week. You guys were just talking about that. Like I said, the Ravens know how to run the ball. They have a good offense. And even though Lamar had his issues at you know, in the through the air, the Cowboys are worse through the air. So there's no reason to believe the Cowboys could have an effective running game against the Steelers. I'm not buying it. If you have to start him because you don't have any other options, I get it. But I'd be 100% looking elsewhere if I had Zeke.
Yeah, the offensive line issues, I know like Dak going down is huge, but the offensive line issues just completely changed the game for them. They yep. can't rely on Zeke because they're not getting the blocks. They can't do play action fake because the quarterback has no time to throw the ball. It's insane. It's insane. And then you think about like the top three picks this year, CMC, Saquon, and Zeke have all disappointed. It's pretty insane.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, for CMCs and Saquon, it's not through any fault of their own. And really for Zeke too, it's not his own injury that's causing it, but it really just goes to show how volatile the running back position is in the NFL.
Second down. Let's play everyone's favorite party game, 7 minutes in heaven.
Whoa.
I mean, high low. We've picked our favorite Vegas props this week. And we'll see if we're on the same side of these props.
Do we do these games every week, or is it just when I'm on?
No. It's definitely we definitely talk about making out when you're on. Definitely. All right. Our first prop this week is over under 72.5 receiving yards for Terry McLaurin.
Oh, it's over. It's over. He's been over that number pretty much every week this year. I know that the last time Washington football team and the New York Giants faced off, it was a horrible game. Neither team wanted to move the ball. And even then, McLaurin had 74 yards receiving. And he's only had more time to get comfortable with Kyle Allen. I know when Kyle Allen first took over that very first game, it was really rough sledding with McLaurin. But since then, they've developed a chemistry. They just had a whole week off of practicing and getting on the same page. No one apparently can stop McLaurin, and it's not like the Giants have a great secondary anyway. So yeah, over easy.
I'm more pessimistic than you. I think I'm going to take the under here. I expect James Bradberry to shadow McLaurin all game. And I know, like you said, it didn't matter last time. He still got to 74 yards. I'm sure they'll find ways to get the ball into his hands. But I think this is going to be a similar game to what we saw last time where neither team really wants to do anything. I think the Redskins defense is going to play well here, which I think is in turn going to have them running the ball more often. I don't think McLaurin will have to do much in order for them to win the game. Playing off of the Ravens injuries, we have J.K. Dobbins with over under 55.5 rushing yards.
I'm going over here too. I said it, you know, during the news and notes section, the Ravens know how to run the ball and the production stays the same. The only thing that changes is how many people get a piece of the pie or what the size of the you know, piece of the pie they get is. So I expect Dobbins to be over 55.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, I agree with this one. I'm going to think that you know, they're going to split between Gus Edwards and him, but I like that they've been working him in more and more. I like that he's been getting more and more touches each week. And like you said, they know how to run the ball. I like the over on this one. So for the Patriots Jets game, the player props aren't out except for touchdowns to be scored. But I wanted to talk about Damian Harris. So we got Damian Harris plus 190 to score a touchdown. What do you think?
This one's tough because I don't think he's going to score a touchdown. I actually think that in that game, you know, the Patriots have shown all year long that that they will score as few points as they think they need to win the game. They don't want to score any more points than they think are necessary. They know they have to conserve them throughout the season, and so they just dole them out like, you know, oh, we'll only score 10 points this week because that's all we need. And when you have, you know, Cam Newton, who's more than happy to run it in himself, I just don't really see Damian Harris being the one to get the ball there, you know, and many opportunities to score a touchdown. And he's not that explosive of a runner where, you know, he'll get the ball at the 40 and then just take off and score a touchdown. Well, the Jets defense might be bad enough that he could do it, but I think I'm going to pass on this one.
I think I can like weave an explanation of how he gets a touchdown, but I think I agree with you. There's so many factors working against him with Cam Newton getting all the touches within the 5 yard line. I do like that the Patriots are like 11 point favorites against the Jets or something like that. So I expect the Patriots to be able to just lean on the run game. But yeah, I think I lean towards no on this one. All right, going back to the Saints game, we go Michael Thomas, 62.5 receiving yards, over under.
So I know we just talked about Michael Thomas having an opportunity to be in the best form and how much the Saints need his ability, but I'm actually taking the under on this one. I don't necessarily think his like ability is actually going to translate to his own production this week. I think that we're going to see more of him stretching the field and giving opportunities to Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook, and more of Alvin Kamara. I think there's plenty of all it takes is really one deep pass to get past the 62.5 receiving yards. I think this is a number that is very reachable for him, but I the way the Buccaneers defense is, I just don't see it happening, especially in the first week back. So I'm going under.
I'm going to take the over, but it's kind of along the same lines. The Bucs defense definitely scares me. I also, now that you mention it, I didn't realize Emmanuel Sanders came off the COVID list this week. Mm-hmm. The only place I had him on my fantasy team was in the guillotine league, and I got cut this week. So with Sanders coming back too, that adds another mouth to feed. And I agree. I think I like the Bucs defense here to slow things down. And this feels like one of those games where you think there's going to be a lot of points, so maybe it ends up being like a 21-10, 21-14 game, something like that. When we, in connection with Michael Thomas, we got Alvin Kamara over under 89.5 rushing plus receiving yards. I wanted to see how these two interacted with each other. What do you got?
And this is also really hard for me because I think Kamara is going to have a lot of opportunity this week. I think they've over since week one, when he only had 67 combined rushing and receiving yards, that they've, you know, used him a lot more in the passing game than they did then. But they've also shown that they're willing to use Latavius Murray in the run game quite a bit. And so with how good this Buccaneers run defense is, I don't know how many rushing yards I see Kamara getting. So really, for me to feel comfortable about this one, I would have to think that he could get to 90-plus receiving yards, maybe like 75-plus receiving yards. Mm-hmm. And I see him getting a lot of opportunity. I don't know how many yards he's going to be able to create off that opportunity. So this is one of those games, I think, with the Bucs defense, you are going to see Emmanuel Sanders. You are going to see Jared Cook. You might even see Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway because Breeze is not going to be able to just go to his favorite targets. He's going to have to just find whoever the Bucs decide to leave open because you can't cover everyone in today's NFL. And so I think this is a week where Kamara and Thomas raise the tides of others.
Yeah. So I'm going under. I agree with you. I agree with the under. I, like I said, just with Michael Thomas, the Bucs defense is legit. Their strong suit is stopping running backs, and they've proven to be able to do it against the best. They've done it against Kamara. They've always bottle up CMC, Christian mm-hmm. McCaffrey. I agree. I'm going to go with the under here, but maybe that's just me being safe too. You know, he's going to get the workload. I just worry about how much he's going to be able to do with it.
Agreed.
Third down. Let's jump into some DFS plays. If you're playing in cash or whether you're playing in GPP, let's give you a couple options that you can lock into your lineup. Miles, who you got as a cash game play this week?
I have this guy projected to score the most points out of literally any player in the NFL, and that's James Conner, because the Cowboys' run defense is one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Their defense in general is really bad, but especially against the run. And the Steelers have shown that when they can rely on the run and don't need Roethlisberger to throw as much, they'll do it. And they've also shown that they won't get Benny Snell or Anthony McFarland involved. They'll just give all the work to Conner. So I think we're going to see a ton of work for Conner this week. I don't care what the price is. He could cost your whole budget. Dude's going to score a ton of points. I like Conner.
Yeah, I agree with that call. I think Conner's going to be pretty heavily owned or pretty heavily rostered, and but he's worth the money this week. The matchup is great. They should be able to just lean on the run late in the game, and just I love it. My cash game play, I'm looking to Keenan Allen. He's $7,000 on DraftKings, and this is just a target monster. He's gotten so many targets. He's over 30% target share, and everybody keeps asking, how much does he need to do to get his price to increase? He was just below 7,000 last week, just at 7,000 this week, but he's getting enough work to be higher priced. So I'm locking him into my cash game lineup this week.
I like that pick a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, against the Raiders, their secondary is just kind of middling.
Right.
In GPP tournaments, it's helpful to get contrarian. Who do you got as a low-owned pick this week?
So I feel like I shouldn't make a pick because last time I did, the guy tore his ACL in the middle of the game. So sorry, Odell.
Poor Odell.
That's my bad. But I'm going to go kind of in a similar vein with Odell. I'm going to pick Justin Jefferson, another wide receiver who's had some amazing weeks, and he's had some weeks where he's been wholly uninvolved. I think for Justin Jefferson to be successful, the Vikings need to throw the ball just a little bit. And I think the Lions are, I mean, even with Chase Daniel under center, I think they could still get out ahead first just because I don't really trust this Vikings offense, just to begin with. So I think, you know, if Justin Jefferson just gets enough opportunity, you know, he can absolutely run wild on this Lions secondary. So, you know, I'll take Justin Jefferson. Any week, he's liable to be the best wide receiver of the week. So I think at 4%, you know, projected rostership, I like it.
Yeah, I like it as like super contrarian because I think everybody's going to be looking at Dalvin Cook this week against the Lions, and nobody's going to be thinking about Justin Jefferson. So I like it as going off of Cook and onto Jefferson, and two touchdowns, that's a specialty. So, All right, my GPP pivot play is Antonio Gibson. He's only $5,800 and only expected to be rostered in 5% of lineups. This is one of those games where the Redskins are only a 3-point favorite in this game, but I feel like we're going to see their defense get to Daniel Jones, make him turn the ball over, and it could get out of hand really quickly. We saw Antonio Gibson have a really good week when they were in a positive game script, and I think that's what we see here. JD McKissick isn't going to see the field when they're in a positive game script as much, and so I think the ball is going to get in Antonio Gibson's hands all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it's contrarian play. So while I'm not a huge fan of Gibson this week, I don't trust the Washington football team's coaching staff to know that he's the guy that should be getting the ball back there. I see the upside for sure. I think the upside's sky high for him at any given week. So that's what you need in these contrarian plays. I as much as it pains me to say, I like it.
Yeah, it's one of those you just have to paint scenario. You have to talk yourself into it. All right, fourth down. Miles, tell us one article or podcast you've read or listened to over at QB List that you need to get the word out.
So I think this was absolutely fantastic work that you did this week with your touchdown regression. Look, it's not just because you brought me on your podcast. Let me say this. touchdown regression is something that is it happens every year. It happens every year in the NFL. You know, players – you know, get a lot of touches in the beginning of the season and they just don't happen to come near the end zone, right? Or they get tackled at like the 2-yard line. touchdown percentage is something that absolutely stabilizes across positions, you know, across games. And so I for sure think that we need to be looking at players who just haven't been scoring the touchdowns yet. They might be, you know, easier to acquire because their point total isn't as high as other players who have similar production. And you did a fantastic job highlighting that. So I think this is something we always need to be on the lookout for.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But this was Kenny's baby. Like, he did a couple of touchdown regression models in the offseason. And he reached out to me this week and was like, listen, I don't have the time to do this. Do you want to do it? I didn't realize the rabbit hole I was falling down because it was a lot. My kids got ignored this week. My house is a disaster, but it was a lot of fun to dive into. Thank you for the, I really appreciate it, man. And my pick is Nate Watts' weekly IDP rankings. I don't play in an IDP league because I'm not a crazy person, but Nate does an awesome job of breaking down the top 50 players at each defensive position. Do you realize how many players that is? He just does a great job of breaking down what you need to know for IDP leagues. So go take a look at Nate Watts' work. That'll do it for the No Huddle podcast. Remember to visit QBList.com for all the fantasy analysis you can need. Miles, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at MilesNelsonPL. And Rich, where can people find you?
Sure. On Twitter, I'm at RichardoPL83. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you right here next week.